ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नारं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं तत्त्वचायम् उदीरयेत् नास्ताप्रयेषु अबाध्रेषु नित्यं भगवतं सेवया। भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 12 द क्यूरिंग ऑफ द डीमन अगासुरा टेक्स्ट नंबर 13। अथ कनम व्यपत्थम महासुरास अथ गनम व्यपथम महासुरास तेषां सुख क्रीडना विषां न शमः। तेषां सुख क्रीडना विषन्न शमः। नित्यं यदन्ता निच जीविते शुभिर् नित्यं यदन्ता निच जीविते शुभि चित्तं मिथैराप्य माराय प्राप्तिशते। पितं मिथैराप्य माराय प्राप्तिशते। अथ कनम व्यपथम महासुरास तेषां सुख क्रीडना विषन्न क्षमः। नित्यं यदन्ता निच जीविते शुभिर् पितां मिथैराप्य माराय प्राप्तिशते। अथ गनम व्यपथम महासुरास तेषां सुख क्रीडना विषन्न क्षमः। नित्यं यदन्ता निच जीविते शुभि पितां मिथैराप्य माराय प्राप्तिशते। प्लीज तेषां सुख क्रीडना विषन्ना क्षमः। नित्यं यदन्ता निच जीविते शुभि पितां मिथैराप्य अथ गनम व्यपथम Tejan sukha kridana vishana shana. Nityan yadanta nija jivite subhi. Pita mitai rapya. Ataganama vyapatam mahasuras. Teshan sukha kridana vishanasyamaha. Nitam yadanta nija jivite subhi. Pita matai rapya. Atanganama vyapatam mahasuras. Tejan sukha kridana vishanu. Nityam yadanta nija jivite subhi. Pita matai apya.
Madhajis?
Ataganama vyapatam. Teshan sukha kritana. Ataganama pyapatam mahasuras. Teshan sukha kridana vishasam. Nityam yadanta nija jivite subhi. Vita mita
utya. Atta thereafter, aga nama, a very powerful demon by the name Aga. Abhyapata appeared on the spot. Maha Asura, a great, extremely powerful demon. Tesham, of the cowherd boars. Sukha kridana, the enjoyment of their transcendental pastimes. Bhikshana akshama, being unable to see, he could not tolerate the transcendental happiness of the cowherd boars. Nityam perpetually. Yaanta, the end of the life of Agasura. Nija jivita ipsubi, just to live undisturbed by Agasura. Pita amitai api, although we drank nectar every day. Amarai, by such demigods. Praktikshate, was also being awaited. The demigods were also awaiting the death of the great demon Agasura. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My dear King Parikshit, thereafter there appeared a great demon named Agasura, whose thirst was being awaited even by the demigods. The demigods drank nectar every day, but still they feared the great demon and awaited his death. This demon could not tolerate the transcendental pleasure being endured in the forest by the cowherd boars. Purport. One may ask how Krishna's pastime could be interrupted by a demon. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur answers this question by saying that although the transcendental pastime being endured by the cowherd boars could not be stopped, unless they stopped the transcendental pleasure of their various activities, they could not eat their lunch. Therefore, at lunchtime, Agasura appeared by the arrangement of Yogamaya, so that for the time being, they could not stop their activities. They could stop their activities and take lunch. Changing varieties are the mother of enjoyment. The cowherd boars would continuously pray, then stop, and then again endure in a different way. Therefore, every day a demon would come and interrupt their sporting pastimes. The demons would be killed, and then the boar would engage again in their transcendental pastimes. Translation again. My dear King Parikshit, thereafter there appeared a great demon named Agasura, whose death was being awaited even by the demigods. The demigods drank nectar every day, but still they feared the great demon and awaited his death. This demon could not tolerate the transcendental pleasure being endured in the forest by the cowherd boars. Om Agyana Timinandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chuakshur Umilitan Yena Dasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Abdhari Srimadi Tamao Krishna Goswami Dinamini Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Abdhari Srimadi Bhaktivedanta Swami Dinamini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachanine Nivishesha Shunyavadi. So here is the story that Lord Krishna killing the demon Agasura. It seems that the demon Agasura is extremely powerful. See, in the translation, it is said that there appeared a great demon named Agasura. Why he is extremely powerful? Because even the demigods, they are, you know, still waiting for his death. So that means, you know, the demigods, even the demigods can do nothing to him. And they are waiting, you know, for someone else to come and kill him. So in Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada, he said, let's see, what did Srila Prabhupada say about this big demon Agasura? So Agasura, this demon, he thus deciding to kill all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So he expanded himself by the yogic city called Mahima. So this demon is very powerful because he has attained a kind of yogic perfection, yoga city called Mahima. So he can expand himself according to his desire. Let's see what Srila Prabhupada writes. The demons are generally expert in achieving almost all kinds of mystic powers. In the yoga system, by the perfection called Mahima Siddhi, one can expand himself as he desires. The demon Agasura expanded himself up to 8 miles. 8 miles. It's very huge. Actually, this morning, my roommate, Radha Krishna, he was telling me, it will take 4 hours walking for 8 miles. 4 hours. So that's the size of the big demon Agasura. It's amazing, right? Yeah. So Agasura assumed the shape of a very fat serpent. Having attained this wonderful body, he stretched his mouth open just like a mountain cave, desiring to swallow all the boars at once, including Krishna and Balaram. He sat on the path. So he's just waiting there, waiting for Krishna and Balaram and all the other cowherd boars to come. And then Prabhupada, he writes, the demon in the shape of a big fat serpent expanded his lips from land to sky. His lower lip was touching the ground, and his upper lip was touching the clouds. That's how huge is this big demon. His jaws appeared like a big mountain cave without limitation, and his teeth appeared just like mountain summits. His tongue appeared to be a broad traffic way. It's like the highway in Los Angeles. That's really amazing. And he was breathing just like a hurricane. Strong wind coming from his mouth. Yeah. His eyes were blazing like fire. So that's the demon Agasura. Yeah. So in this world, people generally speaking, they are very much attracted by the yoga, by different yoga cities. Yeah. But actually, in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada, he writes, yoga city is actually, it looks very amazing, but actually it is nothing compared to bhakti yoga. So let's see what Srila Prabhupada has written here in the Krishna book. In the Bhagavad Gita 6th chapter, text number 20 to 23, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he write about the, he was mentioning about the yoga city. Prabhupada, he write, even those yogis who are attracted by the city's perfections in the process of yoga are not perfectly situated. If yogis are attracted by their byproducts of yoga, then they cannot attain the stage of perfection, as it is stated in this verse. Persons therefore indulging in the make-show practice of gymnastic feats or siddhis should know that the aim of yoga is lost in that way. The best practice of yoga in this age, Prabhupada, then he continued saying that the best practice of yoga in this age is Krishna consciousness, which is not baffling. A Krishna conscious person is so happy in his occupation that he does not aspire after any other happiness. Yeah. Actually, by coming to our Los Angeles temple, I have realized that Srila Prabhupada, he is really, really great. Because Srila Prabhupada, he has given us so many activities like book distribution, prasadam distribution, harinam, so many activities that can completely satisfy our heart and soul. Yeah. That's why Prabhupada, he was saying here that there's no comparison. This Krishna consciousness, there's no comparison, And Prabhupada, he continued saying that there are many impediments, especially in this age of hypocrisy, to practicing Hatha Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, and Jnana Yoga. But there's no such problem in executing Karma Yoga or Bhakti Yoga. As long as the material body exists, one has to meet the demands of the body, namely eating, sleeping, defending, and mating. But the person who is in pure Bhakti Yoga or in Krishna consciousness does not arouse the senses while meeting the demands of the body. Rather, he accepts the bare necessity of life, making the best use of a bad bargain, and he endures transcendental happiness in Krishna consciousness. He is careless toward incidental occurrences such as accidents, disease, scarcity, and even the death of our most dear relatives. So this is this reminds me when I was talking with one of my godbrother, Natananda Prabhu from Dara's temple. Actually, I was asking a question because I'm really afraid of the situation in this present day now, because there are so many fightings all over the world, and many countries like China, Russia, America, North Korea, they are all having the nuclear weapons. Yeah. So I was asking my godbrother, Natananda Prabhu from Dallas Temple, what will happen to our devotees if the demons throw a nuclear bomb to us? Can you guess the answer from my godbrother? Exactly. Nanda Prabhu, was telling me, we devotees, we will simply chant, Hare Krishna, and we will be in Krishna Loka. we'll be in Krishna Loka. I was really amazed to see his answer. Prabhupada said that. Wonderful. The devotees really abhayam, without fear, Because the devotees realize, actually, we are spirit soul, we are eternal. We are Sachi Ananda. Nothing can harm the spirit soul. I was really amazed to hear, very encouraged by the answer of my godbrother from Dallas Temple. Very nice. And then Srila Prabhupada, he said, rather, he accepts the bare necessity of life, making the best use of the bad bargain, and enjoy transcendental happiness in Krishna consciousness. So he cares about incident occurrence such as accidents, disease, scarcity, and even death of a dear most relatives. But he is always alert to execute his duties in Krishna consciousness. Or Bhakti Yoga. Accidents never deviate him from his duty. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 2.14, Agama Paino Nityas Tams Titikshasva Bharata. So he endures all such incidental occurrence because he knows that they come and go and do not affect his duty. In this way, he achieves the highest perfection in yoga practice. It also reminds me another verse from the Gita, which is chapter 6, text number 47. It is said here, Yogina api sabrasham makate nata amakate amakate nanta atmana. Shradavam bacha te yomam same yukta tamomata. So Krishna promised, he actually states here that of all the yogis and of all the yogis, the one with great faith who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself and renders transcendental loving service to me, he is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. So that is Krishna's opinion. So that means we devotees, we are actually the topmost yogis. Yeah. So we are really very fortunate, I'm feeling. Yeah. We are the topmost yogis. Yeah. That's all I want to say. So are there any questions and comments? Yes, Bhikkhu Paribhava. Is there any microphone?
Thank you, Prabhu. Nice class. You mentioned that Agasura was a demon, and he had that power, the mystic power, Mahima, right. And he was able to expand using that mystic power. So my question is this: how is it that these people who were, you know, because demons are opposed to the will of Krishna, so how is it that people who are opposed to the will of Krishna are able to become so powerful? I mean, even now, if you look at on Earth today, you even mentioned it about the different nations that have nuclear. The most powerful people are not the devotees of Krishna. They're people who are not devotees of Krishna. But at the same time, we read, you know, that Krishna's only aim, I read that purport when I gave class the other morning, that Krishna's only aim is to deliver us from material life. Even before we offer our prayers, he's always trying to deliver us. So it sounds like Krishna really wants a lot of progress, you know, Krishna consciousness to be made by the human beings, at least the human beings here on Earth. But yet at the same time, he's allowing all these people who have nothing to do with devotional service or making advancement in spiritual life to be in very prominent, important positions. They're not what's needed. What we need is spiritually enlightened leaders, not people who are demons and are just totally misleading people. So how is it that Krishna, if his purpose in creating this whole material world is to help the souls go back to Godhead, is allowing these kind of people to be in such prominent positions?
Mm-hmm. So first of all, we should understand that the majority of the living beings, they are Krishna devotees. We understand that this world, this material world is only one-third, right? Oh, well, sorry, one-fourth of this entire creation. That means the majority living beings, they are Krishna devotees. Even in this material world, most of the living beings, like the demigods, they are more or less Krishna bhaktas. Yeah. But only on this earthly planet, people, generally speaking, they are materially inclined. They are the demons. I remember one lecture by my Guru Maharaj, he was saying that actually there are 4 or 5 billion demons in this world. Yeah, because most of them, they are not Krishna conscious. Why is like that? It's because these kind of living beings, they have they misuse their independence. Because we all have a independent will. We want to be controller, lord of everything. And Krishna, he gave us an opportunity to fulfill our desire like that, you know. Yeah, because those kind of conditioned souls, they want to be the lord of everything. They want to be enjoy of everything. And that's why, you know.
Yeah, but they're interfering with the opportunity of other souls who might other who would otherwise. They're interfering with the opportunity of innocent people who would might otherwise, you know, use their human form of life to progress in Krishna consciousness. If we had some good leadership on this planet, so many innocent people might take to it and advance in spiritual life. So how is it that Krishna is allowing these demons to interfere with other people's opportunities to use properly utilize their human form of life to advance in Krishna consciousness?
Yeah. Ajita, please.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a nice class, Prabhu. I know it was last minute I asked him to give class, so thank you for coming through and giving a nice class. Now, Brihapati's question can be asked at any point in time in this material world. It's an ongoing struggle. It's like asking, why did Krishna allow the demons at his time to become prominent? Why didn't he just curb them down in the first place and right. not allow them to become prominent and then have to have a big battle of Kurukshetra? Because it's always going on, like you said. People have free will. When they misuse it too much,
right.
Krishna comes in one form or fashion. Either he comes himself and gets rid of them, or he sends his representative, or in this case, the Hare Krishna movement is meant to do that. But it's a gradual process.
Right.
It started, you could say, ostensibly 500 years ago with Lord Chaitanya, and it's going to pick up speed. We don't see how it's happening, because we're still around now, and we don't see that so many people necessarily. But gradually, we see even in our government, there's Tulsi Gabbard. She's a devotee. Gradually, it will happen. It will happen. Krishna doesn't move necessarily at our speed. We want things to happen right now. We see the demons right now. Why doesn't Krishna get rid of them right now? But it takes time. Krishna works at his own pace, just like in his time. He took birth. He didn't immediately get rid of all the demons. He killed one at a time, Agasura, Putana, and then gradually he massed them all together at the battlefield of Kurukshetra and got rid of them. Millions of them at a time.
Right.
So similarly with the Hare Krishna movement. You know, we're picking up a Brihapati here and a Gauranga Prema there, and then gradually it's going to pick up so much speed that a lot of people will come and become devotees, and the balance will tip. Prabhupada said in one lecture, if 10% become Krishna consciousness, planet would be like, then he said, why 10%? Even 1%. Mm-hmm. So there are 18 million people in the greater Los Angeles area. What's 1% of 18 million? No, 180,000. Mm-hmm. So how many people do we have seriously practicing Krishna consciousness now in this Los Angeles area? Guess. A couple of thousand. So we have a ways to go. If we can get 180,000 people in this area to take Krishna consciousness seriously, to chant, to follow the principles, this place will be like Vaikuntha, according to Prabhupada. So that's what we need to do. That's our motivation. Let's go out and get those 180,000 people to start chanting seriously.
Right. Therefore, I realize there will be a huge market for our Krishna consciousness.
That's why you go out every day. Hari Bohu. Thank you.
Thank you for your contribution, Prabhu. Anybody else? Oh, Maharaj.
Thanks so much for a nice class. In regard to the first point of Prabhupada's comment and question combined, you know, why are the demons allowed to be so powerful and so, you know, so strong and so controlling like that? That's an illusion to think that they are really all powerful. The truth of it is, that's why in Bhagavatam we have this story of King Ambarish. We have the great powerful Yogi Devasa with all the mystic powers. We have King Ambarish with apparently no powers except being a king, you see. And Yogi Devasa, of course, with just one of his hairs, he could create a demon that could wipe out the whole kingdom.
Right.
And he tried to actually try to wipe out the king first.
Right.
And what happened, though? The main point is, and we should not forget this, is that the devotee who is trying to be pure, or who is even pure, even those who are trying, are backed up by the Supreme Lord's power.
Right.
That power is insuperable, undefeatable. And so what happened in that very interesting pastime is that when Durvasa tried to kill him with the fire demon, kill King Ambarish with the fire demon, who came? Sudarshan Chakra, with a fire that would completely consume the fire demon and then was on the way to consume Durvasa Muni. So the devotee has the backing of the most powerful person in the world.
Right.
So all these other little mini powers that we see, and nuclear bombs and atom bombs and hydrogen bombs and all these, they cannot compare to Krishna.
Exactly.
And a devotee who has the backing of Krishna will get exactly what Krishna wants him to get. Now that could be death, out, back home, back to Godhead, or it could be here and be in the back to Godhead mentality and be experiencing the ecstasy, the happiness, the fulfillment and satisfaction, even while you're here and even while there's devastation, difficulty, problems and all of these things going on. Because it is a consciousness that the devotee acquires, which is Krishna consciousness. And he feels the connection, he feels his relationship, he feels his nearness and togetherness with Krishna. And in so doing, is unaffected by these things. That is one of the greatest powers, to be in a situation and you're unaffected, you're undisturbed, you're unshaken, you're unmoved, but you just do what you're supposed to do as Krishna guides you and directs you and moves you towards the position that he wants you to be in. And you, being a surrendered soul, will simply act in his. So we cannot judge things by the external superficial aspects of it. We have to see this from, which is what Prabhupada is trying to teach us, that there's the greatest support, the greatest help, the greatest power is to have Krishna behind you,
right, right,
ready to assist you, ready to help you, ready to guide you, ready to give you the words, whatever you need to get you through whatever has to be done.
Right.
So that is the first part of his question. There was another part towards the end. What was the last part that you... Okay. I understand. Yeah, so it seems like a big conundrum that why would Krishna even allow these demons to interfere? First of all, everybody is getting, in general, even devotees are given Krishna karma. There's Krishna karma and then there's this worldly karma. Krishna karma is given by Krishna to enable devotees to grow, to become stronger, to become enlightened, and to become purer. So Krishna puts us through these different troubles, and who is going to give us trouble? Well, devotees generally don't like to give us trouble because they are in the mode of goodness and trying to go higher to pure goodness. So who gives you trouble? Who does killing? Who does burglary? Who does robbing? Who does mugging? Well, the person's in the mode of ignorance. So therefore, it's not so much, if we see it as just a diversion or a distraction, as you were mentioning, to our devotional service, it is not, because Krishna is allowing it. And if we understand that, we will gain the message, or we will gain the understanding, or we gain the we'll gain the guidance from that apparently horrid situation, because there's something deep to be learned from it. In my own life, my own cases, every difficulty which has been given to me either by the so-called demons, ultimately they're devotees, but in their present state they're demons, even those things which have been given to me, I learned some lesson which brought me a little higher in Krishna consciousness, in sense of my decisions, seeing new options, taking things more seriously, and appreciating Krishna more deeply as a result of, yes, being pounded on the head. Because it brought me to a higher level of understanding. So if you simply see it as a diversion discussion, and you don't see the hand of Krishna in it, as it says, every blade of grass moves by the hand of Krishna. So those things are being moved by Krishna for our benefit. But if we just see them as, I want to do this. Never mind what you want to do. What does Krishna want you to do? This is the main thing. We always have to be thinking, is this what Krishna wants? Well, if he wants me, he wants this, then what can I learn from this? So you pray to Krishna, what are you trying to teach me by this? And the answer will come quite quickly.
Thank you so much for your contribution. Actually, your words reminds me another story, which is Prahlad Maharaj. You know, his father, Hiranyakasipu, was so powerful. He not only conquered this world, but the three worlds. But still, you know, he was defeated by Prahlad Maharaj, because Prahlad Maharaj, he was backed up by the Lord, right? Thank you so much, Maharaj. Oh, let's have one Mataji. He has a question.
Thank you. To expound on what Maharaj said, I was thinking about this recently because sometimes I feel dark energies really a lot. And I was just trying to apply the philosophies that I'm learning here. And I felt like if everything is part and parcel of Krishna, then these demons are also part and parcel of Krishna, and that he creates them to possibly make the fire for the rallying of the light underneath his umbrella even stronger. Kind of like when we go to a Harinam and we have hecklers, even if there's only like six people, right, and we're all kind of scattered doing our own thing, when we encounter a resistance, we band together even stronger. And the light generated from resorting to Krishna against, you know, crowds of hundreds of people walking around with shopping bags completely distracted becomes bigger than all of them put together. So.
Thank you. Chai, time is up, huh? Let's stop here. Thank you so much. Thank you all very much. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhaktavinoda ki jai.
Jai.
It's okay.